This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Listen in to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
We would like to dedicate this podcast to lovers love and to the families of those who had their lives taken from them at the Orlando disaster, the Pulse nightclub last year. So this is the podcast we had to have. This is a Sci-Fi and Scream special, and I've got Melbourne Queer Comic Club groupie. Yeah. No, you're not more than a groupie. Well, you're the person behind.
Yeah, I'm one of the committee members.
Yes.
And I was the one who came up with the idea, and So they got more people on board, and yeah.
Yeah, Hayden. Hayden Clem.
Hayden Clem, that's me.
That's cool, that's good. So there's a lot happening in the comic sphere and for the club. How old is the club now?
We're approaching 2 years. I think it'll be 2 years in April.
Wow.
So cool. We forgot to celebrate the first year anniversary.
That's right.
So
we'll definitely,
talked about that.
Can you make sure you remember this
year? Yeah. So this time we'll do a double party.
Yeah, well, yeah. It's double the fun, and finally it's happening, you know. 2 years. Does it seem longer than that? Or
sometimes, and then other times it feels like it doesn't feel like we've been doing it that long. Right. That's because we're not always as organized as I would
as you'd like to be, perhaps. Yeah. Well, look, it's been a great journey for the queers out there who like to get into comics, and also how to find comics that do have queer representation, LGBTQIA representation and everything. So in that coming up 2 years, like, what has that been like, that experience to, you know, source material and things?
I think we've been very lucky in the last couple of years. The queer content, especially in independent comics, has just kind of exploded. And I remember when I first started compiling a list of like, oh, these are the possible books that we could discuss. It was maybe like 10 books, and then like over the course of the first year, there was like so many recommendations and so many books that were coming onto the market where it was like, oh, we'll have to do this. And we still haven't touched on maybe half the ones that we want to do, because
gotta read faster.
Yeah, it's like we should maybe no, I can't do them like bi-monthly, but yeah.
maybe a quick what do you call it? A quick, smart...
Speed reading
comics. But it's not always the case, because comics, you know, some people think, oh, well, they're easy to read and fast reading, but I don't think so. It depends on the content of it and how it's designed and everything else. So, and over that period of 2 years, just briefly, what would have been a highlight for you as far as comics or a comic or...
One of my favourite comics that we did would have to be Fun Home by Alison Bechdel. Mm-hmm. And the discussion that we had around that was very vulnerable and raw from the people who came to that meeting. And it was just one of those things where you're like, oh, it's really nice to have been a part of this. And we had people from all across the queer community identifying in different ways, and to have their reactions to the book was...
Why do you think there was, and what was the sort of reaction you're talking about?
I think because not only did the book kind of go through a very, like a coming out in a way where you don't quite know it, and then it kind of hits you and slowly coming out to the family, and the family's not really okay about it. And then also the way that it went back and Alison tries to understand her parents and her dad, especially, who was... she never explicitly says how she had it, but I would say bisexual. And just the way that people reacted to that in terms of their own coming out stories, their own dealings with their families, you know, people who had good relationships with their families and people who didn't, and how that kind of affected their reading.
Of course, clever. I mean, it's a clever way of putting a book, and also, yeah, pretty interesting, pretty important.
And it gets quite deep, the book, I think, and because... she basically thinks that her dad killed himself. I don't know if she ever explicitly says that, but that's the idea that, yeah, so it was a very nice discussion group to be a part of.
Yeah, it's a jumping in the deep end
type
of comic, isn't it? Like, it's not the usual. I would hope one day.
Exactly.
Yeah. I would hope one day we get the live stage show, the Tony award-winning stage show would be great. But now jumping forward to more recent times, you had one of your monthly meetups, and you have them in Melbourne.
Yeah.
You have them at the Hares and Hyenas.
Yeah. I can't talk up that venue anymore. It's just a fabulous venue that brings together the queer community in my mind. Between all the different events that they do and just being there as they're one of the few dedicated like queer bookstores in the world.
Yeah.
And recently had their 25th anniversary.
Cool.
It was really cool.
Now, did they have a party for that?
Yes, they
Good.
Did.
Good. So they
and
remembered.
It was lots of fun. Yeah, they remembered to celebrate. Yeah. Mm. I think they won Fringe Festival Best Venue last year.
Oh, awesome. Excellent.
And, yeah.
So it was their anniversary last year, the 25th.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Mm. Mm. Yes, they're quite an icon now, I think, of Melbourne and the scene as far as live reading, poetry, performance, small gatherings, launches, and just a brilliant space for that type of thing. And even I've been there. Even I've spoken there, and I was like, oh, that's right, I've done a little speechy thing.
Yeah,
there.
You guys had
the
your
panel. That's
quartz
right.
opening as well.
And that's there. Right, yeah, we had the quartz opening. Lots of stuff, and it's just a hub for that. Now, so every month this happens, and last month you had a very special comic that has been released. Can you tell us a bit about what that one was?
Yeah, so in January, it was our January book, but because of the Midsummer Festival, we got pushed into February because Hares and Hyenas' schedule was very filled. We were happy to
was that 'cause
of
Midsummer? And
So they had something on every night. But we did Love is Love, which was the comic put out by DC and IDW Publishing as a response to the Pulse nightclub shooting in Orlando that happened last year.
Mm.
And all the material was basically donated or done by the creators for free, and all the money raised goes to the fund to help the surviving victims.
Mm.
And the discussion on this was great. I usually lead the discussion, but this group, we had Owen, who's also on the committee, lead it because he'd left Orlando the day before it happened. Mm. And I actually had quite a few friends who were in Orlando that had also left like the day before. So I remember when it happened, we were just kind of scrambling on group chats.
Because this
like,
is a nightclub.
Are you okay?
Yeah. Is again, it's like a hub. It's a place that, from what I understand, a place where people would meet, and a regular, you know, queer club, gay club, trans club as well, performance live venue club as well as nightclub. So a place people did go to for that, you know, area.
Yeah.
Yeah, so obviously a very important meeting place.
Yeah, and I think it just kind of hit the queer community so hard because everybody has that place, and the idea of it happening at your place is kind of quite confronting.
Yes, I mean, it's in people's lives, and the devastation of that, and also because a lot of the people who go there, of course, you know, still go there. I'm not sure what the state of it is now, but
I believe it's still running and still doing drag shows and everything.
But, it's a place for people of colour and Latinx people to go as well. So quite an important place for that. Very sad, really tragic. And, you know, it was only June last year. But I think, the impact of that terrible tragedy, certainly on the creative comics area, has been positive, as in Love is Love has come out, Love is Love. So, yeah, I'm just holding it in my hand while we're doing this podcast, and I'm having trouble just even looking at the pictures. Some of the pictures are quite graphic.
Well, that was what we found from the group discussion, that a lot of people reacted to different pages and other ones found, others quite moving. I think some of the most moving ones were the ones where it was like, I had to tell my child what had happened and why it had happened, and the child couldn't really understand why somebody would do that based on somebody being gay.
I look at the back here and it's got on the back page Equality Florida. So they seem to be a civil rights organisation dedicated to securing full equality for Florida's lesbian, gay, bisexual and transgender community. So are people still taking, you know, like proceeds and donations?
Yeah,
and contributions,
I believe so. I think there was that GoFundMe that shut up and then there's just kind of been a fund ever since.
Now, what was the, I mean, I should say highlight, but how many artists as well were involved?
All up, there was about 140, I'll say creators, because there's writers, artists, inkers, colourers, everything that's involved in comics. And, you know, people from like Mark Miller, who's quite a well-known, Brian Michael Bendis.
Yeah.
And then you had J.K. Rowling let them use Harry Potter characters in it.
Oh, wow.
Apparently, the editorial at DC said you can use whatever characters in whatever way you like. So, there's lots of, like, there's one big shot of Superman with a pride flag and all that kind of stuff. And then the creators definitely use the queer characters in the DC universe. But, yeah. And then there's, like, one by Drew Droge, who's, like, this comedian in California who I know of from, like, he does these videos where he's like Chloe Sevigny. And it was interesting to see sort of the breadth of people who put put forward artwork. And
And in the front page, as you open the inside cover, it's got a memoriam to all the people that were taken and murdered.
Yeah. So
I'm going to hand it back to you.
Yeah.
It's a bit emotional.
At the end of the discussion, we decided that it would be appropriate to read out those names. And, yeah, Owen, who led the discussion, did very well in getting through the whole list.
I don't think I could read it out.
I was there just in case, but, yeah, he got through. And, yeah, stumbled a little bit, but got through. Yeah,
wow. Do we know how many they've sold? Is there any
I don't know, but I know when people came to the group discussion, they said it was very hard to get a hold of this book.
Wow,
That's
a good sign.
Yeah, and I had a friend who was in the US over like Christmas and everything, and he was going all over to comic book stores in different cities and could not actually get a hold of the book, which to me, I hope that means that it was selling out.
I'm sure it was. I mean, you know, is there news of reprints or anything like that? Or?
Not at this stage, but I assume that they did quite a big run.
Yeah.
But yeah, and also the diversity in what was in the book.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't just, oh, this is what happened. It was some of my favorite pages were the ones that didn't exactly talk about what happened, but just showed queer people going about their lives and doing things. There's this great two-page spread about these guys in...
I'm just looking at all the names. Yeah. It's just incredible, the people that were involved. The collaborators, it's just a huge project. Wow. Aniki, Mart Bomer, Bo Bradshaw, as you mentioned, J.K. Rowling, Greg Fox, Sophia Foster, Domino, I mean, Ming Doyle, Sina Grace. So there's some good, good mix, good intersectional representation as well. Wow. Grant Morrison, Molly Knox, Sostertag, goes on. I'm just, some of these names I don't know, but certainly it's an amazing show of support. Gail Simone, of course, you'd expect her there. Definitely. Wow. Crank, Sean Lee.
The list is pretty
Douglas
amazing.
Holgate, there you go. Yeah. So Aussie and just an incredible mix. Jenny Wood, fabulous. Carlos DeAnda. Yeah.
As I say, my favorite page was this one where it's the story about Bob Page, who runs a business in the South and apparently couldn't get a loan to start the business because he was gay and slowly built the business up, which now employs 450 people and has in like revenue of $80 million per year. And they, like people who helped fight the transgender bathroom bills and stuff like that. And I like the story because it was this, it kind of got to that heart of, you know, Americans love the idea of like a small business owner, a mom and pop store. And it's like, this is a classic example of that, but the people running it are two gay guys, and like it's like, how is that any different from another mom and pop store, as they like to call it in America?
Cake shops, the whole cake shop debacle over there, and straight cake shop owners not making wedding cakes for people who are LGBT, you know, IQ getting married. I mean, it just melts my brain to think about this discrimination, and that's what it is, out and out, hateful, hurtful discrimination, you know. It's illegal, people. It's illegal to discriminate, remember? Doesn't matter what country you're in.
I must admit, the group did kind of feel that there was maybe not as enough diverse representation in the book. Not to say that it... but we felt maybe there could have been more trans, lesbian, people of colour.
To show that it can be done, and particularly for geeks and nerds, it's... And those who love comic. Yeah, it's a really... And there was also someone, you know, one of the victims was also a... There's that J.K. Rowling link, from what I understand.
Yeah.
A Harry Potter...
yes, who worked at... The Wizarding World of Harry Potter in Orlando. Right.
That really... Yeah, that really struck me when they did...
The wand thing. Yeah. Because that's...
I'm getting emotional. Because
that's something that they did in the movies for Dumbledore and... Yeah, to see that that kind of thing was recreated in the real world, I guess, was quite moving. But I think at the end of the discussion group, we kind of said, well, let's not just make these books when bad things happen. Let's make these books to celebrate the queer community when, like...
Yeah.
Just when good things are happening. Yeah. And then we kind of turned to the last page, which was by this great artist, Ed Luce, who does the Wovable Oaf comic. I know, it's great.
Sounds hilarious.
He's like this gay wrestler guy who's like this big burly guy. And yeah, it just says, keep creating your art, tell your stories and celebrate life, because that's how we be this thing.
That's straight to the point. I saw that. I noticed that one. It's a good one at the end of the page, because you might close this comic and put it away. Let's not put away, I guess, those raw feelings and turn those into something positive where... Mm. You know, we can turn our anger and our despair and hurt into something, good, like make more comics or read more comics, support more comics that are made by queer people and are stories about queer people, and everybody's involved. When I look at all these names of people who were involved with it...
I know, you've got to kind of keep scrolling because there's
like
so many.
It's like I'm missing so many.
Kieran Gillen, who does the amazing, like, Wicked and Divine.
Oh, God, I love that. Sarah Gordon, Jason Inman, Phil Jimenez, of course.
I think I saw Tom Taylor on there, who's in another
Australian. Yes, another Australian. He's done some amazing stuff and he's stood up very strongly for... LGBTIQ rights as well. I guess all of these people would do, but whatever their background is, they've all come on board something that is really, you know, it's really fantastic. It's very important. Mm. So that's great. Look, it went on sale December the 28th. As you said, it's probably broken the internet. So many people rushing to buy it. I hope that we see more versions of it in the future available as well in hard copy, and out of this darkness that, you know, it shows that we can put some light on and do some positive stuff.
Yeah,
that's my rant.
Yeah, I think especially in the current political climate, I guess a lot of queer people feel
a bit like the hourglass has been turned up the other way,
but we need to remember that it can be turned back, so
that's right,
just have to stick together.
Now, Hayden, moving a little bit forward in time for the next meet up for the Melbourne Queer Comic Club, the one and only, based here in Melbourne. you've got an interesting one that is coming up soon, The Vision.
Yeah.
A Little Worse Than a Man. Vision. Sorry, The Vision Volume 1, Little Worse Than a Man by Tom King. And what's this about?
So this is, they sort of... The Vision has gone through an interesting sort of story in the last couple of years, but they've recently sort of brought the character back, I think, because he's now in the movies. But the direction of this is quite subversive. And to think that Marvel's doing that with a character that they've got in their like billion-dollar blockbusters is pretty cool. It's basically a deconstruction of the nuclear family. We're doing a queer reading of that. And, yeah, it should be a very exciting one. It's also what happened was this was a 12-issue run that after the 12 issues it got stopped. Mm-hmm. So the following month in March we're going to do Volume 2. So this is the first time we're also going to have done a follow-up to a book, basically. And we're kind of testing the waters to see how that goes. Mm-hmm. And
so the story is fascinating. The Vision wants to be human, from what I'm reading here.
Yeah, very like Westworld.
What's more human than family? So he heads back to the beginning, to the laboratory where Ultron created him and molded him into a weapon, the place where he first rebelled against his given destiny and imagined that he could be more, that he could be a man. There he builds them a wife, Virginia, two teenage twins, Viv and Vin, and they look like him, they have his powers, etc. This is interesting and weird. But what's your queer reading on this?
I think just that idea that like heteronormativity and
that nuclear family,
the nuclear family, and everything's perfect because it's a man and a woman and they've got kids and they're in the suburbs. Mm. And I just think to deconstruct that and to do a queer reading and look at it through a queer eye is going to be quite interesting because, as you know, that's basically a made-up 20th century idea, and let's not get too hard into the queer, but queer graphic history is probably a good place to start in that, the idea of breaking down what is heteronormativity and, it's going to be very interesting.
Because, of course, the whole marriage equality thing, that is a form of heteronormativity.
Yes, exactly.
As well. And it's like we're planning to become heteronormative, accepted into that world. Yeah.
And then it's the idea of homonormativity.
Yes, that's another issue. Yeah. And I mean, for queerness, it's like,
But then it's like, well,
we don't have that. We shouldn't
queer,
have that.
So do you actually want to do that?
I don't exactly. know.
We're falling down the rabbit hole here, but it's going to be very interesting. And I think also the idea of how other people come at it will be quite interesting to get that kind of feedback.
Mm.
And that's one of the best things about the group. Yeah. Everybody has a different reaction.
And how do you choose? Like, that's coming up, February the 27th?
February the 27th.
Yeah.
And then we'll do the volume 2 March the 27th.
Okay. So, oh, I see. Yeah. Right. So how do you come up with what to choose? And what's that, you know?
The committee all are quite avid comic readers, so they're all kind of always reading something, what's coming up, just normal superhero comics. I tend more towards the independents because I am generally trying to find a comic for the group.
Yeah.
But we'll come and discuss and be like, well, what are you guys reading? What do you think is good? And then we'll share it around and be like, yeah, that's a good book. And sometimes we want something with a lot of text or subtext. And other times we just want to do something fun because it's good.
Yeah.
So and then I don't know if I'm fully answering the question, but one of the other things we like to do is try to show the diversity of comics, that it's not just superheroes, but you can have great queer stories in different sort of context. From,
I mean,
an Alison Bechdel to
Lumberjanes was a great
Lumberjanes, a man wanting to become a robot wanting to become a human, Rat Queens, which was like a fantasy role-playing sort of thing, Trees, which was very much like a rival. I don't know if you saw that.
Yes, I saw that.
Just like, oh,
amazing.
Amazing.
And
Amy,
the artwork.
I love Amy Adams. But yeah, it was very much aliens landed on Earth, and so it was a sci-fi. And yeah, the idea that queer stories can be told in all these different sort of contexts and genres. And it's not...
Yeah.
We're trying to get people who read comics to maybe read something a bit different. And then we're trying to get people who don't read comics to read a comic and
just
see that their
comic
stories are in comics. Yeah.
Yeah. Because the widest reach of readership is comics, actually. So it reaches all ages. And, it's the stuff of dreams, which, it can change lives and be helpful, and it'd also be a lot of fun, or
And like, as a teenager growing up, I remember I got into comics by reading the X-Men, and we finally got around to doing the X-Men, and it was such a great book because everybody there had read the X-Men because the X-Men were, they were a minority group, and as anybody who's a part of a minority group, you kind of are just sort of drawn to them because of what they deal with. And
I see what you did there, drawn to them.
Oh, that wasn't even deliberate. But yeah, I'll take that pun. But yeah, also the idea, I think, of the X-Men as creating a family is a very queer idea.
Yeah.
Of having a
family of mutants.
Yeah, a family of, you know, your homos and your queer people. I don't know.
Yeah.
That you do have a family in the community that you kind of create around you and that comes around you and becomes a part of your life.
Community is everything.
Yeah.
As we've had to build and construct them and work together. Great. Well, can you tell us how people can get in touch if they've never been to a meetup with you guys? What's the best thing to do and where to go?
Never been to a meetup? Check us out on Facebook. Mm-hmm. All the information's always up there. We put up an event for every meeting. So it's always got the details of what the book is, when we're going to meet, where to get the book, which is usually All Star Comics in Melbourne, and Hares and Hyenas, the venue where we hold it. Otherwise, our email is also on there if you've got any specific questions, or you can just message us through the Facebook page. And yeah, if you've never read a comic and you're interested, come check it out. I feel 2017 for a lot of people is the year of trying new things. That seems to be the verdict. So try new things in 2017 and come check out a queer comic book club. Yeah.
And they're in Melbourne, so at Hares and Hyenas. Easy to find as well. It's Johnston Street. So get your GPS out on your phone or however you want to. Word of mouth, you'll get there. You'll find a way.
Yeah.
And you meet Mondays.
Monday nights. Usually the last Monday of each month. Cool. But it changes around sometimes. But if you are new, just come up and say, hi, I'm new, and we'll look after you. So.
Excellent. And so the next one is The Vision, Volume 1, Little Worse Than a Man.
Yeah.
Cool. That sounds really intriguing. Well, thank you so much for speaking to us, Hayden.
No, thank you.
Hayden Clem from the wonderful Melbourne Queer Comic Club.
Yeah.
I keep wanting to say Comic Book Club, but anyway. Well, thank you very much. And yes, we would like to dedicate this podcast to Lovers Love and to the families of those who had their lives taken from them at the Orlando disaster, the Pulse nightclub last year. And go out and support them if you can. Mm. I'll put the links on the Facebook page for Sci-Fi and Scream and Queer Geeks of Oz. And thank you for listening.
Yeah.
This is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. There we go. Right. Go for it.
Okay. Kia ora, this is Taika Waititi, and you are listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94... Is there a dot in there?
Yes,
just
point.
94.9. Kia ora, this is Taika Waititi, stuntman, actor, director, lover, friend, confidant, shoulder to cry on. You're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. FM, not AM.
Beautiful.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.